Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Sometimes I'm right, and I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. Butcher, banker, drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people. Let's get it going. Time to kick off the morning show for the week here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. I did not almost forget the call letters.
No,
did not happen to me.
That was fine.
Your host, James.
Flawless, even.
Joined by our head producer out here at WFHR, our co-host, Laura, is with us.
Yeah, hi, that's me.
Hope you all are having a good morning out there, and hey, you had a good weekend. Thank you all for being with us. We got nothing but fun for you lined up over the next 2 hours. Going to get into the El Cafe birthday and anniversary club.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. How many Americans have experienced at least one paranormal event?
That's a good one.
Some interesting stats on that one.
Yeah.
We'll get into that. To kick off the 10 o'clock hour with the kitchens open, Beth will join us. Thanks to our friends at the Hotel Mead. Looking forward to it. Got a good one lined up for you today, too. Beth sent over the notes. I really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. Got some entertainment news for you. They misspelled Batman's name.
Is not hard to spell.
It's not. We got to get into
I'm sorry.
That.
I'm going to judge you.
It's fair. It's very fair. And I want to make time sometime in the next 2 hours. The scariest on-screen villains of all time.
Ooh.
Time.
Okay.
We have all that going on. And we have a couple of other things that I want to get to, because it's an exciting day around here at the studios. We've got Senator Teston here with us, part of his On the Job series. He's going to be ghosting us throughout the day, and we're going to put him to work.
A little bit.
Show him, kind of the grind of radio.
Some of the basics of editing. We're going to record his Rapids Report interview that he normally does once a month, and then I'll show him how to make it into a podcast himself.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. Really do appreciate him.
And I think he's going to be talking with the mayor later today, too.
Yeah. I really appreciate him being here. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's Halloween week, so we'll be talking Halloween, not only the topics, but events and times. Mm-hmm. We'll have that for you lined up. All of those things. I do want to start the show, though, and kick off the week on a good karma note and thank the greatest team in radio and everybody around here giving me the opportunity to be able to head to my hometown and remember one of my favorite people in the universe over the weekend. Really do appreciate that. Seth, Laura, Melissa, all of you guys doing some extra work around here. Of course, Pam and all the things that she does to help with all of that as well. Appreciate you guys very, very much. I got to see my sister. I've never been to Argyle, Madison. Argyle, right outside of Madison. I've never been to Argyle before.
Like a suburb situation?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Man, it is country over there. My sister has cows. My little sister has cows, and she was milking them, and the cows followed her like her two boys do.
And is she, like, flourishing?
Yes, yes.
And
just
I love that.
Really
for her.
Loving it.
Heck yeah.
That's living out there, man.
Yeah,
and,
how cool.
I forget what the sky looks like sometimes. And just out there, especially, I've been going to Madison my whole life, and Madison, beautiful, but has a bit of light pollution to it.
Sure.
Not in Argyle.
How cool.
I found the constellations and everything.
Awesome.
It was great.
I do appreciate the thanking us, but like, we were already here. It's fine.
Yeah. You guys, I don't even know if anybody noticed I was gone. I don't know, but
we definitely did. And it was really cool to have Melissa on for the Rapids Report. That was really fun for everybody. It was cool.
She did a great job. She was amazing.
Not
surprising to zero people.
Right.
It was awesome.
Right.
Just appreciate everybody.
Yeah.
And I want to start off with some congratulations.
Oh.
A big thank you to Wisconsin Rapids Tribune's own Jamie Rokas, who put out the article letting us know that the Miss Wisconsin Rapids Scholarship Organization has two new reps.
Ooh.
That have joined us on these airwaves. Madison Graff was crowned Miss Wisconsin Rapids 2026.
And
Gianna Peters was named Miss Wisconsin Rapids Teen of 2026.
Awesome. Congratulations, you guys.
Both amazing kids. Mm-hmm. Nothing but amazing kids that were out for this and everything. Congratulations to everybody involved. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun getting to. It's such a pleasure getting to talk to them every year. This is a safe place. I want everybody to know that. Whatever we're talking about, we're all friends here. We're all good to each other.
I am suspicious.
Positive
of this.
Vibes all around.
You shouldn't need to say these things.
I had a question pop up in my brain this weekend, and being in the car for like 17 hours back and forth between here and Chicago and all that.
Sure. All right. Lay it on me.
You got time to think. You got time to. Is it sad to carve a pumpkin by yourself?
No. Because it's fun.
Well, my mother and my father thought this was hilarious and never even really gave me an answer because they were too busy laughing at me.
Okay.
But I threw it into this a little behind the curtain look. Sometimes when I want to make sure that I have a question for the audience or something like that, I will throw it into my computer and bookmark it so I have the sure. question there and I can pull it up out of my folders and everything.
Yeah.
So I accidentally kind of threw this as a question into Googler.
Okay, and what did the Googler tell you?
It says, no, it's not sad to carve a pumpkin by yourself.
It's not sad.
And your parents should laugh at you for it, maybe.
I am so glad the Google machine agreed with me. Thank goodness.
And we'd love to hear from you out there, everybody. But if you are carving a pumpkin this week, we got a note for you on it that I have not heard before.
Okay.
But I think you might have brought this up, and I think somebody
else...
Don't
make me remember things.
Exactly. I'm not trying to put you on the spot there with that, especially on a Monday morning.
Ugh.
But here's a bit of a pumpkin PSA for you. Stop cutting the stem off your pumpkin.
Oh, yeah.
So this is, you knew this already. I could have swore you brought this up.
Well, but I use it as a handle.
I love that.
That's the way you do it. Like, yeah. you cut the top off and use it, like the handle. But I've also cut the bottom off and set the candle just on my sidewalk or my stairs with the pumpkin on
that.
It. Or,
that's
you know, not a candle, but those battery operated votive things. And then I just literally have a handle. So when that pumpkin is no more, I can just grab it by the handle and toss it under my lilacs for the critters to eat.
There's got to be ways nowadays of like keeping your pumpkin to last longer. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is or what you would do, but I imagine there's a million life
there
hacks
are.
About that.
And the thing of it is, most of them make it so that you can't feed the critters the leftover pumpkin remains.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't use them because I'd rather feed pumpkin bits to critters.
Mm. I almost forgot. I have to pause the story for a second.
Oh, no.
Because I found a life hack this weekend.
Oh.
My parents were having trouble getting into their vehicle, and they have a fob.
Okay.
And they were trying, and the battery died. So they needed to get a new battery, all that, but they couldn't get into the vehicle, and they were freaking out. And my dad was very upset about this because his whole life,
fair.
He can get into his vehicle even if the battery's dead.
My key shouldn't need a battery.
Right.
Got it.
They found out that from the dealership that the fob, most, and I don't know if this is every fob, but most fobs, you push a little button and the physical key comes out.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go play around with my fob.
Yeah. So you still have a physical key inside the fob. Why they don't tell you that? Well, I know why they don't tell you this, because so they can charge.
But that really ought to be more publicized.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yes. Back to the pumpkins.
Back to the pumpkins, but I had to get that one out there
so everybody knows.
That's a good one.
It's a PSA from James.
And now a pumpkin PSA from pumpkins.
Thank you, pumpkins.
If you're going to carve some pumpkins this week, here's a tip. Don't cut the stem off. It will last longer if you cut a hole in the bottom or back of it instead. Points to Laura. Let me make sure that I don't think
do
I have
my
points.
Oh, do we have the dinger?
I don't think I have my dinger anymore. Yeah.
No. Ding, 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 ding.
That's awesome. I also hadn't thought of the back.
Of course.
Why
it's got a bottom on it.
Oh, that's. I think I might do that.
Well, the thing about the back though is the back only works if you're not cutting all the way through the front. Mm. If you're just carving, right? So that you can't like see through the hole.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. For those that didn't know, that the stem is actually what's attached to the vine that feeds the pumpkin. I don't know. I don't know if that's common knowledge. If it wasn't to the city boy over
that's
here,
how
so
it grows.
Right, right. I don't know if everybody knew that. I knew. Ooh, I found that out decades ago. I've known that for a while.
Okay,
I was 30.
Okay.
So the stem of the pumpkin.
Someone take this guy out to a farm.
Right. Contains a lot of nutrients that require to keep your pumpkin healthy. So keeping it connected to the pumpkin is really helps it as far as keeping it fresh for longer.
Yeah.
When the stem is left on, it helps seal the pumpkin and slow down the rotting.
All right.
So in summary, do not decapitate the pumpkin.
Don't do it.
Cut off its butt. It's much much better.
Do it upside
down.
But
do it upside down. That's a good way to do that. Actually, that's. Mm-hmm. What about when it comes to now? So for me, I like I love the stencils. I like doing a lot of those things and everything. But I think that when you got young kids, letting them just kind of like draw on the pumpkin, it's a rite of passage. Like, I'm not saying you have to do this, but I think it's fun for the kid to do.
The way that we do it is we kind of let the kids design their own stencil. So they draw it on a piece of paper and then we pin it to the pumpkin and usually I have an adult, but now that my kids are getting older, it's at a stage where the older ones might be able to carve it themselves. But yeah, we do it that way. So it's kind of both of those things. But it's because I have super creative kids. And I don't want to limit their ideas. I can only be limited by, I guess, my abilities.
My family is a little similar. We've got really creative people, but I noticed, especially this weekend, how different we are. I write, I'm an actor, a lot of those things. My brother is a little more musical. My brother is a little more constructive with his creativity. It's sure. more of in the business world that he finds a lot of it and everything with coming up, working with the Wisconsin Herd and coming up with promotion ideas and things sure. like that. Nick's great at that stuff. Mm-hmm. My little sister, Jillian, has always been creative, but like more with coloring and drawing. We haven't seen a lot of stuff. She's been making her own cakes, like doing a lot of those things where the crazy cake, the minion cakes and stuff. And she made Charlie, her youngest's Halloween costume. And she did it. Like, it looks really good. It's a robot. It looks awesome. Really good and stuff. And she you don't want to know what she spent on the idea. She made it because she didn't want to spend too much on the costume itself.
Right.
And now she spent a bunch just with all putting it together.
She ended up spending about the same because, yeah.
It's I think that is maybe it may be my favorite thing about Halloween sure. is the creativity part mm-hmm. of it.
I think so too.
That when I was young, I always thought it was just, well, everybody gets to be an actor that day. I love that everybody gets to act. Right. Everybody gets to pretend they're somebody
sure.
else or something
but that's
like
just cosplay.
That. Yeah. It's more so to, even when you're not even the people that aren't dressing up, but maybe they design their front yard mm-hmm. or maybe they're not even doing that, but they're doing something when they're handing out candy
it's
and they dress up.
It's an incredibly creative holiday.
It's got to be the most creative holiday we have.
Back when we were making our own Valentine's, that was Ooh. A contender.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Or Easter baskets. Easter. That's a contender. Ah, and if you're like me and you have a really good time wrapping Christmas gifts, huh?
See, there's something creative about every holiday. There really is. There's something to that. Maybe Halloween a little more than others, but sure. you're right. There's something creative to every holiday.
Yeah.
Making Easter eggs.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah. Easter eggs,
I
sure.
didn't even think about that. Well, that's one of the best parts of holidays that
I
look at it now.
Cooking and baking would be considered creative to me, too.
Absolutely.
And every holiday has that.
100%. Yeah. You ever been in the kitchen with a good cook and they're missing an ingredient, but yet you don't notice that they missed an ingredient?
No, because they made it happen.
Yeah. That's a lot of creativity to that. And a lot of creativity went into our WFHR Halloween show.
Yeah.
It's back for a second year, maybe a third year, actually. We've been doing this for a couple
know.
Of years now.
It's all blurring together.
This is so much fun. This is put together by our team where we put this on Halloween and we mm-hmm. bring the whole team together and everybody gets to participate.
Yeah. We had everyone read. We've got some poems in there, some music in there, some short stories. What else do we have?
Creepy poems.
Lots of good stuff.
Yes.
It's going to be a good time. And it's going to be airing throughout the trick-or-treating time, mm-hmm. right? So you can just pop that on and do your trick-or-treating and listen to scary stories and poems while you get in and out of your vehicle.
We are your Halloween soundtrack, everybody. Be sure to join us from 5 to 8 this Friday, Halloween, for WFHL's Halloween show. We could not get Vincent Price's. We just got me. So
we just got James.
Vincent Price cost. That's what I am.
That's
got me in the bargain deal. If you're a nonprofit group and you're hosting a Halloween activity for this week, we would love to hear about it, everybody. Let us know so we can get it on the airwaves and let our listeners know. Reach out to us. Email us info@wfhr.com or call the front desk to talk to Pam at 715-424-1300.
Mm-hmm.
Take a quick time out. We'll come back doing some celebrating with our friends at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's Laura and James taking you through your morning on WFHR.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you tomorrow to treat yourself mm-hmm. at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. The gang over there off for today, but they'll be back at it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Be sure to get ready to join them and kick off your week the right way with our friends at El Cafe tomorrow, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Big shout out Fidel and the gang over there. We really appreciate them.
Absolutely. Big fans.
And of course, we encourage you to get us your birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. You can email us info@wfhr.com, direct message us on our Facebook pages, or you can call on up.
715-424-2600 if you would like to speak to James and I. But if you don't and we can't blame you, you can call Pam at 715-424-1300.
Join the conversation. We'd love to talk with you, everybody. Taking a look at our local list here. Laura, I need a one or a two.
Two.
All right. We first up want to wish a very happy belated anniversary to our good friends Chuck and Chris Gennaro.
Oh, awesome.
They celebrated their 39th anniversary on October 25th, this Saturday. Sorry
we
missed it.
Heck yeah, Chuck.
Congratulations to both of them. Chris is amazing, and you guys hear us talk about the soul of this station, Chuck, all the time.
Yeah, that's our station manager.
Mm-hmm. Best engineer in the business, mm-hmm, one of our favorite
for sure.
people.
Yep, absolutely.
Just one of my favorite people, let alone
honestly,
this industry.
Like, I hope to never lose Chuck, no matter mm-hmm. where I am or what I'm doing. I really, really like him. He's good people.
Good people. Good people, both of
and,
them.
And congratulations to him and Christine on their anniversary.
You celebrate your 39th. Are you already thinking about the 40th and what
yes.
you're going to do? I have no idea. I probably will have no. I never have any idea. So I'm
yes.
guessing. That seems smart. That seems like a good way to do it. Happy anniversary, Chuck and Chris. And a very happy birthday today to Civic Media's Jamie Martin. Happy birthday to Jamie.
Yeah, that is the producer for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Jamie's awesome.
Jamie's awesome.
Wishing him a happy birthday. Jamie does a really good job
yeah,
over there.
Yeah, she's great.
She does a really good job. Did I say, I meant to say she.
You said they. It's okay.
Did I say that? Okay. Yeah. Enjoy your day, Jamie.
Absolutely.
We wish a very happy birthday to Jeff Fuller.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Enjoy the day, Jeff. Hope it's a good one for you. And our qualifiers celebrating their 52nd anniversary, Tim and Ann Stainbrook.
Oh, happy anniversary. Congratulations, guys.
Wishing you guys a great one. Enjoy the
yeah,
anniversary. 50,
Tim and Ann.
52.
52 Ooh,
that's
years.
Impressive.
Heck yeah.
That is impressive, you two. Enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, everybody, getting us these. We love celebrating these.
Yeah.
We really do. The only problem is we don't have enough of them.
Right. So email us at info@WFHR, your birthdays and anniversaries.
We take a look at our celebrity list. Who do you share your birthdays and anniversaries with? First up, Kelly Osbourne is 41. Happy
All right.
Happy birthday to her.
I've always liked her. I can't be mad at Kelly Osbourne.
Yeah, I don't think any of us can have any idea what it is like to grow up,
no.
Not just in the public eye, but in that family.
And to have been a teen girl with spotlights on her.
I think about it with Chelsea Clinton all the time.
Yeah.
And
they were contemporaries in
right.
a lot of ways. Like, they weren't that far removed from one another.
This has nothing to do with politics or style of music you like or
no.
anything. Just young people having to grow up in the public eye. That's
it's
just
tough.
That alone.
And,
I couldn't imagine. I couldn't do it on my own.
Think about it. Being a teenager is rough. Being a
yeah,
kid
right.
is rough. And everybody's watching you do it.
I'm lucky I survived my teenage years just being me. I couldn't imagine being on that level.
You didn't even, like, we didn't really have social media when we
yeah.
were kids. We really
Man.
Lived.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Patrick Fugit is 43. He is Kyle in Outkast, Young Will in Almost Famous.
Oh, sure.
It's been in a handful of movies. Good
sure.
one. Oh, the great, the wonderful Simon Le Bon is 67.
Oh, fantastic.
Lead singer, songwriter for Duran Duran.
Yeah.
I will always be a Duran Duran fan.
Yeah, you will.
Can't help myself.
It's okay.
Robert Picardo is 72.
Okay.
One of the doctors on Star Trek Voyage.
Yes. He was the doctor on
okay.
Star Trek Voyager. He was an animatronic or no, he was a computer projected
oh,
doctor.
Oh, okay. A hologram.
Yes, that's
okay.
the word.
Okay.
Thank you.
Roberto Bellini is 73. The half crazy, half Italian actor director. Now that just doesn't make any sense.
Now,
I mean,
come on.
You have to be.
He's both of those things.
Yeah, you're both of them, really. Life is Beautiful is the big film,
yeah.
the American film that you would know him as. He has a lot of great Italian films. If you like Italian noir or any of those things, they're a lot of fun. But Life is Beautiful is one of the most inspiring and also difficult movies I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I'll only watch it once. I can only handle it once, but man, it was a good movie. And he won that Oscar. And one of the, if not the most memorable, one of the most memorable acceptance speeches of all time.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to, he was having a hard time getting in and out of the seats.
Okay.
Just in general. And then when he won, he panicked. And so he just like walked on top of people basically like through. Didn't it just it's one of the greatest like acceptance speeches
that.
You'll ever see.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And only he could have gotten away with that.
Right.
Like, there's nobody else that would ever get away with it. A great moment. Great moment. And otherwise, not always the greatest acceptance speeches, greatest memories from those things.
Yeah, but
things.
That's a lot of pressure. We need to give people a little more grace on acceptance speeches. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's really easy to judge.
Right?
It's one of those things
that's
very easy to judge.
But put yourself in their shoes just for a minute. Man, that's a lot of pressure.
I used to get upset at Michael Bolton because he won a Grammy for When a Man Loves a Woman. And he thanked everybody under the sun except for Percy Sledge, the guy who originated the song. Well, hearing him talk about it years later and stuff, and nobody feels worse about it than Michael Bolton.
Right.
Like,
we really got to give people more grace for that.
Yeah. John Cleese is 86. The legend.
I love him and his teeth.
So Monty Python, is an influence and big on a lot of people.
Yeah,
and he had his huge place in American culture.
Yeah. But he's one of the founding members. Yeah.
Yes. Not everybody from that show went on to have huge careers or big careers or anything.
They didn't all have Fawlty Towers.
I don't think that anybody had the career that John Cleese did. As much as I love Eric Idle, as much as I love Terry Gilliam as a director, and Terry Gilliam's got some amazing credits on his career as a
Terry
director.
I'd say Terry Gilliam's probably the one on par with John Cleese out of all of them.
John Cleese, with his rep, like the notoriety that he got and everything, and to your point with Fawlty Towers or some of these other shows that he did.
Fawlty Towers was brilliant.
A Fish Called Wanda.
Well, and that one had Michael Palin, too.
Yeah. And, of course, Kevin Kline, one of my all-time favorites.
Kevin Kline's great.
A great one. John Cleese, man. Happy 86 to him.
Happy 86.
Ivan Reitman would have been celebrating a birthday on this day. A Second City's Own, director of Stripes, Meatballs, Ghostbusters, Twins, Junior, Kindergarten Cop, Dave. Ivan Reitman, one of the greatest comedic directors of all time. There is a wonderful, in his passing, because he passed away very suddenly, very out of the blue, kind of.
So we could have had even more. Holy cats.
There is a wonderful scholarship available through Second City if you want to go on and do art, comedic directing. And it's in the Ivan Reitman name. Mm-hmm. It's a really beautiful thing. His son has gone on to do great things. Legend. Mm-hmm. One of our favorites, Laura, I know that we've talked about on both of our shows, whether it's Unlabeled or Burn Before Reading, the great Scott Weiland, born on this day in 1967.
Burn Before Listening.
I'm sorry. Burn Before Listening, the fantastic show you can catch Sunday nights at 9.
But Scott Weiland.
Weiland.
Who I adore. I had a very real, genuine cry when he passed. I had become a big fan, and I was really pulling for him in his sobriety and was sincerely bummed when it didn't work out. I think he's a really underrated vocalist. I think there is a level of vulnerability in his style of singing that is what really drew me to him in the first place.
I liked Velvet Revolver more than Guns N' Roses. There, I said it.
Same. Same.
You had basically Guns N' Roses, just with different
with Scott
lead singer.
Yeah. And it was better.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And I like Stone Temple Pilots. I'm sorry. I don't care.
Great band.
I love it.
Also would have been celebrating a birthday on this day, born in 1858, former U.S. President Teddy Roosevelt, our 26th
groovy.
President.
Yeah.
From 1901 to 1909, he was the first president to ride an airplane, drive in a car, ride in a submarine. He inspired the teddy bear. He saved American football, oversaw the creation of the NCAA.
Yes, he did.
There are national park systems.
Yep,
there's so many things that the Roosevelts did. Teddy at the forefront of a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like a lot of kids out there, one of my favorite assignments was doing on, we always got to do assignments on presidents,
right? And you're gonna pick the cowboy president, Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, I did.
Nobody's shocked.
I felt like it was too on the nose for me to
do
Lincoln.
I probably did Lincoln like every other lame person.
That's the thing. The only reason I did is because I thought it was too on the nose, otherwise I'd have been like everybody else and done Lincoln,
or I'd have done something dumb like John Quincy Adams.
The Roosevelts, you cannot tell the history of America without the Roosevelts.
You can't.
You can't. Incredible impacts they had. And you guys had a great impact on the show. Thank you so much for adding your birthdays and anniversaries to our list. We appreciate you.
And congratulations to Tim and Ann.
Yeah. We'll be right back with some more show. We're going to come back. And how many of us have experienced something paranormal? We got the stats on that one coming up for you on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Laura and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. We got some fun stuff going on here at the studios today. Mm-hmm. We'll send a shout out to Senator Teston joining us for his On the Job series.
Yes, thank you. It's cool.
You'll have more on that a little bit later. We'll wrap up our show talking with the senator. Mm-hmm. We'll have, and I'm sure from him, you will be seeing some highlights from this
yep,
and everything
yep.
too.
And we're going to record the Rapids Report today as well for him for the month. And so you'll get to hear that later today and tomorrow as well.
For now, when is the last time or if you have seen a ghost?
Okay.
We're not talking about the, 10-year-old with one of the bed sheets thrown on that she wasn't supposed to cut holes into, but she did and stuff.
Right, right. We're talking about genuinely believing that you had a paranormal experience. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In a new poll, 60% of Americans say that they have had at least one of 13 paranormal experiences.
Honestly, that sounds right to me.
It doesn't seem far-fetched. It seems about right. It's also still kind of surprising. It's odd. It can be all of those things, but it's still, for me at least, I agree with you. And at the same mm-hmm. time, that's a high number. Anytime I see a high number on mm-hmm. these things, I'm a little surprised. So that's a little interesting to
yeah.
me. Going down the list here, 35% of those people say that they have felt a presence or unknown energy.
Sure.
32% have smelled an unexplained odor.
Okay.
I apologized. 31% have heard an unexplained sound or music.
Okay.
26% have heard the voice of someone who wasn't there.
Okay.
That one I have experienced.
I've experienced all of those.
And I want to know from the audience, too. Not just Laura, but certainly yeah. I want Laura's feedback on this, of course. But I want to hear from the audience on
yeah.
this one. If you've experienced any of these or how you think of them.
Yeah, I think it's funny because, like I said, I have experienced all of those at one time or another. And the funniest part of it to me is that I did spend a lot of time in a place that was supposedly haunted and have no experiences in that specific place, despite clearly being able to experience these things.
Sure, sure.
So just, throwing that out, too.
I feel like that's what would happen to me if I stayed at the Pfister in Milwaukee.
Nothing.
Like I said, nothing happened. Yeah,
they're just
yeah,
not no, interested they're just, in you. Yeah, like, yeah, look at this guy.
It's like, then you start getting self-conscious about it. Like, am I not hauntable?
He's haunting himself. What are we
like,
for?
Like, yeah, yeah. Like, the ghosts don't want to be around me. What's wrong with me? Who do you think you're?
Why? Let him haunt us?
What, you think you're so interesting, ghosts? 26% have felt an unexplained change in temperature.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
23% have seen lights or other devices turn on or off without explanation.
See, that's in the act of investigation, too.
18% have seen unexplained orbs of light.
Yep. Usually in pictures you see that, but sometimes by the naked eye it's possible.
I know we were talking about this one over the weekend with, lost loved ones and mm-hmm, everything, mm-hmm. And certainly older family members like grandparents and stuff, and
sure.
how Jill is certain that her kids, her boys, have seen my Nana, things mm-hmm. like that, that they're the little kid that's staring off into nothing and laughing, mm-hmm. or something. What are they laughing at? All that.
Yep.
It's interesting.
There's sometimes more to things.
17% have seen an object move without explanation.
Mm. Okay. Mm.
16% have seen a spirit or a ghost.
Okay.
16% have also seen a door open or close without explanation.
Okay.
10% have seen an angel.
Okay.
9% have seen unexplained smoke.
Sure.
And 7% claim they've actually seen a demon.
All right, then.
Men, 38%, are more likely than women, 28%, to say it's likely the paranormal events they've experienced have scientific explanations.
Naturally.
Yes, 100%.
I feel like that specific stat is exactly why they set up the show X-Files the way that they did.
Mm, mm.
It's what made it more interesting that
sure.
the female lead was the skeptic.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I think they did that on purpose. They wanted the men to like the female lead who was relating to them, and they wanted the women to like the very attractive male lead who was relating to them.
Probably pretty smart work on them on their part. On that one.
It was honestly good show. I'd watch it again. 10 out of 10.
Around 40% of Americans believe in ghosts and psychics and demons and these things,
sure.
but just 6% believe in vampires, werewolves, and that kind of thing.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing.
It's a big drop right there.
There's a big difference. There's a big difference between a vaguely visual or audible or even scent-based experience and a physical thing that you can describe and see in terms of people believing or not believing. It's about broadness, right? I don't believe in Bigfoot necessarily, but I believe in ghosts.
You know, when it comes to ghosts or spirits, anything, whatever terms you want to use, those are things.
That's the thing. The wording is just so.
Yeah, anyway. It's a lot of gray area. But when it comes to those things, those were not man-made necessarily. Those were things that were kind of whatever your religious backgrounds or whatever your belief
right.
in the afterlife or whatever.
You're supposed to believe that it's a natural occurrence of some sort.
Since the first person we lost, we've been wondering what's next, what's
exactly.
after, and those
and
things.
And that's where. You know, people are tying in those vague, broad.
Whereas, like vampires and werewolves, yeah. those are actually in the scheme of history, recent inventions, recent creations.
I mean, to an extent,
That you know, if you look at time, like on a clock, that it wasn't that long ago. There weren't vampires and werewolves in the BC,
right?
You know that kind
now,
of.
Now, I would say Bigfoot's an exception to that one, though. He's been part of the story as long as there's been people on the Americas, which has been quite a long time.
10% of people believe, what the oldest cryptoid is, and the oldest stories, those are always interesting to look into.
It's going to be the lizard creatures, like the giant dinosaur stuff. It's going to be those.
Some stuff, Kraken, maybe. You know,
the Kraken. It's going to be those kinds of things.
10% of people believe that they can physically see events in the future. 9% say that they can physically see events in the past. And 7% can physically see current events that they're not physically present for.
Sure.
Another 7% claim that they can communicate with the dead. Among 16% of Americans who claim that they've seen ghosts, more people say that they are good ghosts than not.
Okay.
31% say ghosts they've seen are good. 6% say evil. 24% say neutral. And 21% said a mix.
Okay. Well, and that's the... So, among people who investigate the paranormal, the general idea of it is... If we're going to believe in ghosts, we're going to believe that they used to be people. And so naturally, there are going to be a wide range of the way that they intend to do what they want to do. There's going to be a lot of different reasons and perspectives and ideas. And of course, you're going to see a lot of different things happen because they're as unique as people because they used to be people.
Yeah, yeah. And when it comes to there was one other part of this that I wanted to get to, too, that's
sure.
much better than what I was going to bring up.
Okay.
And maybe this goes without saying, but people who lived in a house they thought was haunted are more likely to say that they've experienced many paranormal events.
Well, naturally.
Except for you, where...
I didn't live in that house.
Oh, right,
it was
right.
So it was the lighthouse that my family used to vacation in Door County. So we used to be able to stay at Sherwood Point Lighthouse because my dad is retired military now. And you can rent it through the Coast Guard if you have a military ID. And so we would stay there. That lighthouse is supposedly haunted by a former lightkeeper's wife. And I never experienced anything from Millie. God rest her soul.
Very interesting. So I feel like we have your answer, but please, give it to us if you want. But
okay.
I'm curious if anybody out there, would you or have you lived in a haunted house, a haunted apartment, anything like that before? I kind of thought you would
I might shy away from that.
But.
To be honest, I do think there's a single apparition in my house still that is, hanging around. I think I have before. I think I am now. It's not that big a deal.
Most places.
I just wish he paid rent.
I don't. Yes. Yeah. Right on. Yes. I don't know the legality of these things necessarily.
Right. Can I loop him into the lease?
Well, it might be a fun thing to bring up with David with our realty report. Do you have to disclose
do
this
Do you
stuff
have to disclose that?
When
that
you're
the previous
selling a
owner
home?
Thought it was haunted? Or
yeah.
Is that something you intentionally hide from them?
I'm saying it a little bit, for content here,
it's
but
a,
I'm also kind of curious.
It's a little bit flippant, but it's also like, okay, but like, really?
I would think if you, especially good realtors, they know their audience. They know the people,
well,
so you would know.
Well, and I think that might be it. I think you say what you say to make the sale to an extent.
I wouldn't shy away from it, but I got to admit, if I live in that house, they tell me it's haunted. I live in that house for 10 years, and I never experience anything. Again, I'm thinking, what's wrong with me? What is it about me that ghosts don't even want to haunt me? What is it? I'm taking that personal. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be a little come on. What is it about? we want to hear from you on this one, everybody. Mm-hmm. Let us know, 715-424-2600, or call or join us through the Civic Media app. Looking forward to talking and hanging out with each and every one of you.
Yeah.
For now, Laura and I will take a quick time out. We'll come back, have some more fun on the show, morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. Lauren James hanging out with you.
Hi.
Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll take you to the top of the hour. I'm going to kick off the 10 o'clock. Whoa, we got a fun 10 o'clock hour lined up.
We do.
I'm going to kick things off with the kitchens open.
Yes,
Beth will
we
join
are.
Us. She's got a great one for us today. Shout out to the Hotel Mead sponsoring
always,
that segment.
And yes.
We'll also get into a little bit of entertainment news. They misspelled Batman's name,
which is very easy to spell.
It's wrong. They shouldn't do that. The scariest on-screen villains of all time. And we will wrap up the show with Senator Tustin joining us as part of his On the Job series.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to all of that. That's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be good stuff. But right now, I want to dive into this one with you, Laura. The number one fear that people have this spooky season.
All right.
We've got a list here of 10. Things that we are scariest of, most scared of.
Okay. And so this is the things we are scared of this spooky season.
What terrifies you? What scares you?
I don't know. I need more parameters.
Chapman University conducted an annual poll of real life fears everyday Americans have.
Okay.
And topping the list was corrupt government officials. 69% of us are afraid of that one. Afraid or very afraid of that one.
Now, is this Halloween specific or is just overall? Because
they are not really good. Chapman University, where you can go to their website, chapmanuniversity.gov, I believe, you can go to and find a complete article. Mm-hmm. They didn't give a whole lot of the parameters of this one.
Yeah, I'm very curious about this survey.
and as a note here, it doesn't matter who's in power. It was also number one last year. And 10 consecutive years overall now.
Honestly, yeah, fair, same.
And I think it's fair to say that this is a fear, even outside of politics, people in power being
corrupt.
Yeah,
honestly, the majority of people are not the people in power, so that's gonna be a fear.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's a very understandable, very relatable one. Mm-hmm. And I think that one thing that is a positive in that, and I'm looking at here, mm-hmm. is that the people that are in these jobs also have those fears.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's hopefully some comfort in that.
Yeah.
But that is both hilarious and accurate.
Yep. I'm not fighting with it.
Second on the list, people you love becoming seriously ill. 59% of us are afraid of that.
Sure.
Economic financial collapse, 58% on that one.
Mm-hmm.
This jumped from 15 last year.
Okay.
So that skyrocketed up from 15 to 13.
It's almost
for number,
like people
to number
can't
three.
Afford things.
Yeah. Cyber terrorism comes in at number 56% at number four.
Sure.
Wrapping up the top five, people you love dying at 55%. Now, this seems cruel. It feels like at number two was people you love becoming ill, and at number five, people you love dying.
I feel like those should be the same thing. What are we doing?
Yeah, that's. At number six, the U.S. becoming involved in another world war.
Yep.
55% of people are stressed out for that.
Sure.
At number seven, pollution of drinking water. 55% of people are
which is huge in this area.
That's at number seven. It was at number 11 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Number eight, Russia using nuclear weapons. 54% on that one. Now, again, I feel like they're...
I'm pretty sure that they just announced that they made a new one. Mm-hmm. So,
Number nine, pollution of oceans, rivers, and lakes. 54% of people are worried about that. That is up from number 13 to number nine.
That's a valid jump, honestly.
And number 10, government tracking of personal data. 53% of people are nervous about that.
How high did that one jump?
That was at 20 last year. Number 10 now.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't like this phrase, legitimate fear. I don't necessarily like that.
No, those are all
that,
valid.
But they are, valid. They are, for lack of a better way to word it.
Those are all fair. Those are my fears too. I just don't think of them specifically for Halloween, but they're relevant.
Yeah, I think this is kind of tying in the scary,
it's
spooky
tongue-in-cheek-ish.
Season. Yes.
Yes.
Also on the list, notable things on there. Number 17, a fearing AI replacing people in your workforce in your particular field.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Number 25.
We don't have the social safety net for that yet.
At number 25 is fearing a new pandemic or major epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
43, fear of sharks.
Okay.
Fear of sharks. And number 44, fear of heights.
All valid. This was the stuff I was expecting.
Right. And 64% fear of flying.
Okay, yeah. And how high'd that one jump?
That didn't say on this.
Boy, I wish they had.
Carry on. Yeah. And so so this list is interesting on a number of different things, and I think you could take a number of things from it.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things that I appreciate about this list, and I think that we need to do, and I think you do yourself a lot better than it's not to say that you shouldn't have fears or fears. Fears can be positive things in some ways. They keep you alert. They keep you aware.
Yeah.
It's how the human race has survived flight or fight.
Fight or flight, yeah.
You know, that stuff. But
fear is a natural, healthy human experience.
I think there's also something that we forget about with fear. Mm-hmm. It's relatable. It brings us, actually has an opportunity to bring us closer together.
It's human.
This list... it was filled out by people from all walks of the earth, Republicans, Democrats, rich, poor, man, woman, all of the above.
Fear is human.
Yeah. And I think that if we understand that a little bit more, if you understand what fear is man-made, fear is something we labeled,
it's always been there.
Yeah. And I think understanding it is, it's no different than, hey, everybody has, maybe you don't like horror movies, but everybody's got at least some version of that you don't mind.
Sure.
Maybe you like silly horror movies. Maybe you like suspense, whatever it is. We all have something like that. Mm-hmm. We all use fear in some ways. It's also one of the greatest motivators in human history is fear. Mm-hmm. Again, part of how we got here. I think it's important to just not look at these things as, oh, fear's bad. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, fear can be bad, but it isn't all bad.
Mm-hmm.
On this list, all not only relatable, but kind of taking it a different direction. And I thought that was interesting. But I love that they also included some things like fear of sharks or some of that.
Yeah. It felt like a well-rounded list in that way, I suppose, because it did get to the basics, you know, sharks, heights.
Let me double check here what the actual website is. Yeah. Chapman.edu.
Okay.
Of course. Why did they get that? Of course, it's a university.
University.
They're all EDU.
Come on, man.
That's going to bug me now. That's going to bug me this morning. Had another one I wanted to touch on here, Laura, Halloween wise.
All right.
Gargantuan gourds.
Ooh.
Gargantuan gourds.
I do like a squash.
Yes. Gargantuan gourds were transformed into sailing squash for the 2025 West Coast Giant Pumpkin Regatta races in Oregon.
Are people sitting in these?
Yes, I'm going to show you a little bit of a video.
People are sitting in giant pumpkins?
The annual event, which took place Sunday.
Canoeing in a pumpkin.
Featured hollowed out pumpkins being paddled across a lake by people in elaborate costumes. Quote, it's kind of a ridiculous idea, which is why it's so popular, Heidi Marks, the event coordinator,
incredible.
Said. How often can you say that you've watched people in costume paddling 1,000-pound pumpkins on lakes?
You guys need to find these videos.
Parker Johnson, who dressed up as the very hungry caterpillar, took first place in the costume contest.
Oh, heck yeah.
Somebody else that finished here. Yeah, Jim Sherwood, who co-founded the Pacific Giant Vegetable Growers Group in 2001, was inspired to hold the initial West Coast Giant Pumpkin Regatta in 2004 after learning of a similar event in Canada.
Okay. Okay.
The quarter mile race takes the form of multiple heats, one for growers, one for event sponsors, one for local officials, and two for the public.
Fantastic.
Wow, they got a bunch of these that go on.
This is awesome.
It's a true regatta.
This is awesome.
Participants in the public heats are chosen via a lottery system that begins in September. So they've got so many people that want to do this.
Oh, my word.
They got to really...
But not everybody gets in. Oh, my word.
That is pretty darn good. I didn't realize that part of it. That was something in the article I had not read.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to try to show Laura this real quick here, some of this, but it's pretty fun.
Oh, no, this is incredible. Oh, she's dressed as a hot dog. And there's a minion. Oh, look, it's Guy Fieri.
I want to do this so bad.
Spectacular. That one's a gnome. There's lots of pumpkin gnomes. I love those. A pirate. Good.
I love the idea of growing
a turtle.
Like just growing my own pumpkins. I like doing idea of that. But
these
now
are
I want to
giant pumpkins that have been hollowed out kayak style, and there are people with literal kayak oars. Just going. Just doing their thing. All in, like, costumes. Yeah, there he is as the very hungry caterpillar.
Which is a great choice, by the way.
Yes.
Great choice. Hungry caterpillar coming out of the pumpkin. That's perfect.
Absolutely.
That's really good.
Or any of the characters from James and the Giant Peach.
Yes.
That would be excellent.
I like that.
Giant ladybug in there. Why not?
Do they? I just thought of something. I got to look up here.
Sorry, guys. He's thinking.
World's biggest jack-o'-lantern.
Ooh.
Because the hollowing out and everything is pretty cool, but man, making the world's biggest jack-o'-lantern would be pretty cool, and somebody, of course, already did it. 2,749-pound one carved from a pumpkin grown by Travis Ginger in 2023. This record was set in West Clarksville, New York.
Oh, how cool.
Another record holder is a 2,560-pound jack-o'-lantern carved by Mike Rudolph from a pumpkin also grown on Ginger in the same place.
Oh, so cool.
That's pretty interesting.
That
pretty interesting.
Is interesting.
We'll have more interesting stuff coming up for you in the next hour. Everybody going to kick off at 10 o'clock with the kitchens open. Got some entertainment news in there as mm-hmm. well, some other fun stories. And we'll wrap things up with talking with Senator Teston mm-hmm. from his On the Job series.
Yep.
All coming up right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.